I'm longing for dear old Broadway, longing for dear old town. Yes, I'm longing to stroll on Broadway, watching the world go round. To be back where the boys all know me, back where the girls all bow.
This is the North Carolina Theater Story Show. I'm your host, Lynn Pryor. James Johnson is our technical director. You can listen to this and all previous episodes at nctheaterstories.com. We're coming to you from a 100-year-old house, former home of the Gilbert Theater, here in historic Haymont in Fayetteville, North Carolina. This is show number 28. Our guest today, I am so happy to say, is the wonderful Mary McGee. Mary has been sitting frequently over the last 9 months, sitting here in the studio, listening to us, occasionally coming to the microphone to add some interesting point or two about some topic. But tonight, she is in the hot seat. Mary is a local character actress. She's been very, very busy lately doing back-to-back shows, including It's a Wonderful Life at the Gilbert. And that's where we all saw you last, Mary. And you, again, were just a solid actress.
Okay.
And we're using this word character, but this morning I was listening to the BBC, the wee hours, and who was on? No, it wasn't the BBC. It was our own very own NPR here in Washington, and Michelle was interviewing Maggie Smith.
Oh.
Now, if you know Maggie Smith, of course we all know her work for the last 50 years. At least I do. And we saw her on stage in The Woman in the Van, Bob and I did in London. And now it's been made into a movie, Alan Bennett's wonderful story, true story. Anyway, Maggie Smith, one of my favorite actresses, she was being interviewed this morning. And I had heard for years that I said, occasionally I'd say, strange, Maggie Smith is never being interviewed, you never see her on television, you know, promoting this or doing that. Well, I learned later that it's because she hates being interviewed.
Oh.
And if she were to be pushed to say something, she would say, Maggie Smith has acted, is acting, and will act.
Oh, wow.
Period.
Okay, ditto. No.
So that's all they need to know. But here she was promoting Woman in the Van.
Okay.
And she and Michelle was saying to her, I mean, character actress, and do this and do that. And it's a true story. And then Maggie said, and then she said, and Michelle said, and you were a great beauty.
Oh.
And which she was.
Yeah.
And Maggie said, she said, character actress, I play characters.
Mm.
I might be a 20-year-old good-looking young woman.
Yeah.
It's a character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I might be playing a mother who's 40 years old. Mm-hmm. But doing this, doing that. And then Downton Abbey, she's probably supposed to be in her 80s, as Maggie is,
mm-hmm.
and is... playing an aristocratic person.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's had the career she's had,
mm-hmm.
because she did not label herself as a character actress.
Yeah.
She just saw a good story and she was signed on and did it.
Yeah.
On stage or in film.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's kind of a lesson for all of us. We're tempted to, as we did tonight in your intro, to say that you're a character actress. But you see, Maggie Smith could have relied on her looks. But we know what happens to actresses who do that, they're, at least in film world,
mm-hmm.
that when their beauty begins to fade, then parts are fewer, and maybe a few handful of more matronly parts and so on. Please forgive me for going on and on. You're my guest. You haven't had a chance to say anything but mutter.
I'm nodding.
You're nodding.
I can't see me.
All right. But I want to make this point because I think it's an important one.
Yeah.
is that she, this was not her top priority, is to remain, she, as she says, it was said, a dish. And no, she's an actress, and she accepts parts, and these are plays, she plays characters. And so I hope that even though you have been recently been labeled that, what are your thoughts on what I just said?
Okay, well, I know, yeah, all about labels, and I don't like to be labeled, but then I do like to be labeled. It's like interesting to hear a perspective from somebody else that someone's even paying attention to me. So if a character actress is going to get me a job, or, you know, I'll take it.
Absolutely. And you remind me of Joyce Grenfell, one of my favorite English actresses. Margaret Rutherford, but particularly Joyce Grenfell. Yeah. But no, okay, right. But then you can get typed, person can get typed, and here Mary, this a play comes up, Mary could ace this one, so let's get her in. But nevertheless, I think the point is well taken, think.
But that's why I'm interested in, I'm feeling very lucky too that I have had a bit of diversity here in Fayetteville. For instance, the next show I'll be in is Hedda Gabler, and I'll be Mrs. Elvsted, which is, you know, far cry from character acting, but
Well, then, okay. Well, we'll get to your most recent plays in just a minute, and we can make that very point, and say that you're being recognized for far more than that.
But one thing too is that when I read for Mrs. Elvsted, they didn't really ask me to read for Hedda. And it's like, I can be mean. I can be Hedda. Oh, you know. Yeah. So I'm playing a lot of little ingenue kind of things, which, you know, I'll take that because everything is still learning for me. It's still, I forget what I learned before and I got to relearn some stuff. So my brain is working hard, whatever they give me.
Yes.
And I have a story about that too in college. I don't know if you want to get to it later.
Well,
okay.
No, tell it now.
Oh, okay. We were doing a Piece of My Heart by Shirley Laureau. It's about a lot of Vietnam nurses and all the branches of the service. And there was an SO girl who was one of the characters.
USO.
And she was supposed to be like a Janis Joplin type. And I was like, I want to be that, you know? And they gave me the part of a girl named Sissy from Erie, Pennsylvania, who's like... the director said to me, because I was like, why can't I be, you know, this Janis Joplin type girl? And she's like, Mary, you are Sissy. And I'm like, okay. And then I looked at it, and, you know, my dad is from Erie, Pennsylvania. I was Sissy. Like, I, you know, they put me in a part that was really good for me.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah.
Well, so that can be...
I'm no Tina Turner, but I want to be.
But you... well, you're a singer... and deep but so you get kind of reputation in a certain in a group of theater companies
and in different towns
right.
Right.
Now Mary, speaking of your father and so on, tell me about your childhood.
Okay. Well, I was born in Oak Park, Illinois, where Betty White was born there, but she'll say she's a California girl. Understandably.
Well, she is now, but that's where she was born. Yeah. And do they honor her there?
I don't know, because I left when I was two.
Maybe she did too.
About the same time Betty White left. And I moved to Cleveland, Ohio. So I was in Cleveland, Ohio till I was four. So you'll hear in my voice some Cleveland accent. It depends. My accent's a little wonky because you learn how to talk when you're around that age. So I have some Cleveland, but I moved to New Jersey when I was four. And for some reason, if I'm thinking about my parents, if I'm talking to my parents, I get a little bit more of a Jersey accent. But in my town in New Jersey, there were a lot of kids from the Philippines. So if you were talking to me, you were like, why does she talk like that? Are you foreign? What's your thing? I'm like, well, who are you? It's a little bit of a Philippine accent.
Well, you have a good ear.
Well, I didn't know that till I was working at the Grand Canyon. And this guy from Queens was like, are you a Filipina? And I'm like, no, hold on a second. So it all came together. Like, oh, wait, Ohio, New Jersey. That's why I'm so confusing. to a lot of people because they don't know who I am.
James is nodding.
Am I confusing James?
James, don't make fun of our guests.
He's just agreeing.
I'm going to have to call your mother.
He's agreeing.
Okay, all right. Anyway, so, well, but it serves you well. I mean, maybe in your daily life, but so many people that come to our microphone are such dyed in the wool actors and actresses that they their real life is on stage, and everything else is just kind of getting by. But Mary, now, okay, so what else about your childhood? You have siblings.
I do. Yes, I have one older sister. Her name's Michelle, and it's not that we're opposites, but we have a lot of clashing kind of thing, misunderstanding. And a psychic told me once that sometimes we choose to be born into families where we have a lot of misunderstandings so that we'll be better communicators with everybody else. So I'll take that, you know. Yeah, well, when I moved to New Jersey, too, we moved to a town called Ridgefield. And I was there for 1 year, and I had a friend, Laura Donna Altamura, who I'll remember forever. She was really nice. She was a great friend, and I was happy, I think. It was a culture shock coming from Ohio, because I'm like, what's pop? It's soda? What? You know, just kind of weird things like that. Soda and popper.
Sure.
But then I moved to Dumont, New Jersey, a year after, and that was a little... kind of a depression, beginning a depression series all through 8th grade. It was horrible. My grammar school, the kids, it's like day one you show up and they decide you're weird, don't talk to her.
Oh boy.
And so you're just like, and it was Catholic school too. So, you know, it's like, I'm a good person if they only knew me, and Jesus loves me, and Jesus is my friend. So I would talk to Jesus all the time because he's all I had, you know, really, really.
So you were in Catholic school the whole time?
Through 8th grade, and then I got to high school, and I went to the public high school, and I made some friends there, totally different people. My sister went there a couple years before I did, so I just kind of jumped into all of her friends. Which was good for me. I'm still friends with them now. You know, we parted, you know, when you leave high school, but with Facebook, like, you know, we all got back together on Facebook.
Wonderful.
We're still friends, and we never see each other, but we see each other on Facebook. And that was also around kind of, I was kind of like a punk kind of goth girl, you know? Punk and goth kind of the same kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
Before some punk kids turned goth kids turned
snotty. Black nail polish.
Oh, well, if I had it, it was more dumpster diving. And this was before being goth got expensive. Like, for some reason, it was like all these girls in the clubs, like, they wouldn't talk to you. And they'd have these expensive things. I'm like, girl, I bleached the blood stains out of that thing that I found in the trash. Made something cute with safety pins. You know, if I wear makeup, I do. If I don't, I don't. I don't have to have black hair, you know. If I wear black, it's because I get dirty because I lie around on the floor a lot. You know, just, but it was kind of like, you could be whoever you were, and everyone appreciated that you were whoever you were, whatever that was.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah.
And I kind of caught the end of this wonderful thing because it switched. So it was kind of like, yay, this is a wonderful life. And then turned off. And I know that there are kids out there my age, I say kids because we were kids, who, you know what I'm talking about. Hello out there. You know what I'm talking about.
As you finish high school, those friendships ended. Is that what you mean?
People went in their different ways, but you know, then I got to college and I had some friends, but I would go, you know, I lived near New York and we would go clubbing and stuff like that, and go to different places, and usually I would I was a roadie for a band, so I was always broke, but I would go to whatever shows that they were playing at. So I could go for free. And
so a roadie, so you followed this band around?
Yeah, well, you know, we lived, you know, around New York City, and so, I mean, yeah, okay, so, like, look at me censoring myself, but, yeah, so we would go and do tour dates and stuff like that, and then when I moved to Florida, and then I moved to Arizona, you know, many years later, when they had bigger tours, I would be the merch girl, and I'd sell their stuff. And
so, which band was it?
Android Lust was the first band, and then I Parasite is another band that kind of overlap now.
Those are terrific band names.
Well, thank you.
Android Lust.
Yes. Yeah. What on NCIS? The original one, they've been played on NCIS, and even the band name was mentioned by the character Abby.
Oh, cool. Yeah. It seems like something she'd be into.
Yeah. Shiki from Android Lust, she's kind of, she's been compared to Trent Reznor a lot, like a female Trent Reznor. She's really something special. So, yeah, we had a...
How wonderful. And that second one was...
It's like Parasite.
I see.
Yeah, that's Chris's band. Christopher John. yeah, they're still together. They're out in California doing their thing. We haven't been in touch for a while, though. Yeah, kind of parting ways. For me, it feels like an estranged sister. Kind of relationship.
I see.
Because my sister also. Here we get to turn around.
This is getting really deep.
What? I know.
Well, darling. No, well, your sister. Where does she live?
Oh, my sister lives in Maryland.
Oh.
Yeah, it's just kind of like misunderstandings. In any kind of, I guess, sibling relationship, sometimes you're like, you should understand me. And I've seen this in the kids in Glee too. I brought it up.
Uh-huh.
That what is it that you everyone's doing the best they can with whatever it is that they know.
Yeah.
And you never know what anyone else is going through. And just the same, no one really knows what you're going through.
Right, exactly.
So do your best to either lift people up, or if you can't, keep them the same, but don't ever put them down.
Well,
because you don't know.
No, absolutely. There's a new movie at the Cameo here in town. It's independent cinema that is showing, what is it called?
Pronouncing that movie's name. Annonopolis?
Animalisa?
Animalisa, that's
Animalisa.
Right.
Oh. And it's not animation. Is it stop motion? We used to call it stop motion.
Stop motion of puppets. It's directed by Charlie Kaufman.
And it's the same philosophy. Oh. He, at least the previews, I can't wait to see the full thing, but the previews have him saying, everybody has a body, everybody has feelings, everybody has... hopes and it's getting a big buzz, and I think it's going to get some nominations, and there's not one live person in it. In a sense, these people are the most alive people you'll ever meet. Mm-hmm. But they're made up. Well, Mary, you give up your road days and now. So, but you started studying drama when?
Oh, well, let's see. In school, grammar school, growing up, mm-hmm. everyone had to be in the spring musical and the Christmas musical.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, I remember kindergarten graduation, we had to memorize something for the first time. That's the first time we had to memorize something. It's a grand old flag, it's a high-flying flag. That I can't believe that's like in my brain.
Uh-huh.
But, ask me something from last week, I can't tell you. But, mostly when I got to high school, we had a drama club, and I auditioned, we had this audition kind of thing, and I got the part of the evil stepmother in Cinderella, and I was like, yes! But so, then we never wound up putting up a production. Like, I got the part, but we never wound up doing it. Let's see, I got in Kiss Me, Kate, I played Kate.
In high school?
Mm-hmm. That's the first, I think that's the first play I was ever in. Yeah.
So you sang. Kiss Me, Kate, yeah, it's the musical.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
but, Cole Porter and on Taming of the Shrew.
Yeah.
And so what, are you a soprano?
In high school, my sister was in the choir, and all of her friends, who I wanted to be friends with too, we were kind of all in the choir. So I, my sister was an alto, and they said I could go either way. So I decided to be an alto because I thought altos were cool, you know.
Sure.
I actually hurt my throat.
Weren't honoring your true placement.
Well, what happened was I came from singing in church as a kid growing up, you know, just no one ever heard me, just me singing, and it felt good to sing. Then I got into high school and we're singing in the choir, and then they made me a section leader in the alto section. And if you know anything about altos who belt and are a little bit flat, it was me trying to be louder than people who are all a little bit flat, and I was doing it wrong.
Oh, boy.
And I was pushing wrong, and I shouldn't have been pushing at all. I was too young to really...
Yes.
So, I got a teacher in my senior year. There was a soprano in the choir, Danielle Latanzi. Hello. She's out there. She had a teacher, Anna Freund. She was in Glen Rock, New Jersey. And she was like, "You're a soprano," and I'm like, "Okay." And
so finally, somebody recognized that, and
But she got me to sing in the right position, and because if this is what I'm telling all the kids too, to listen to your body, because I felt things were going wrong, you know, and you know, I ask people, "What am I doing?" And they're just like, "Oh, you're fine." So always listen to yourself, because I did some. You know, it took a few years to come back from that. But then I found it. And then I had a sore throat for a whole year once. And I saw an ENT who drained my sinuses and no more sore throat. And I was like, what a long story. Oh, ups and downs.
Well, yes.
Came out trying to sing with a sore throat and saying maybe I'm hurting myself.
Yes.
Well,
so you kissed me, Kate, and was that a good experience?
I mean, it was the first time I got to, you know, costume changes and put on show. They had a video company come and tape the show. That was this whole thing, you know, parents had their video cameras, but they said, "Oh no, we're going to get a professional video company to come in, so parents, you're not allowed to bring your video cameras." So they made this video, and during my song, you can see me, but they didn't get the sound, so you can't hear me.
And that was some dad would have done a better job,
right?
Like your father,
right?
Oh my gosh, what is that song? I forget.
Well, I did "So in Love," probably the one.
So in love.
Yeah, I haven't even.
So in love with you.
Yeah.
Am I?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's nice because it's in the low. Now this is where Bill Sampier helped me later in college with my voice too. He's gone now, but he's with me every time I say a prayer before a show to him. But the mid range, you know, over the break, people talk about the break, and you know, you've got your head voice and your chest voice. It's too much to talk about in here, but he helped me find a position. The position that's like, that's the right position. Listen to yourself. If you're having trouble, remember this. And it's a hango exercise. I think I mentioned it in the last show. But
can you remember the lyrics? Let's do a little bit together.
Oh.
So in love.
Oh, it begins. It's kind of low. I hurt my throat shouting at kids the other day. Isola Jones, I should also say, she's been very important to me in my recent singing, because she actually got me back to singing, and she helped me so much. She used to sing at the Met.
And she's your teacher now.
She's in Phoenix, so I haven't been able to see her.
I see.
But
your throat is hurting you. We can't.
I can hear where I have troubles. I was very resonant before acting camp. And I was shouting, and I was like operatic, loud, shouting, tension.
We can't sing a couple.
Oh, we can. Oh, sure.
A couple of.
Sorry.
What? So in love.
See, because I don't have my lows since I was shouting. It's like very. It's like strange
dear,
but true dear. It's pretty low. When I close to you, dear. The stars fill
that's marvelous. Let's stop right there.
Oh,
we could go on. Goodness knows, but James is already giving me signals about time.
All right. Okay.
Now,
clapping.
That was all you were clapping. Now, okay. So you were looking at my notes here. I was going to ask you the earliest time on stage. Well, it would have been.
Oh, earliest time. Well, I'm thinking kindergarten graduation, but there was I'm having a memory from eighth grade. Okay, I also want to, there's some people I want to mention. Shout out to Arthur Cook, also out there, and well, Bobby Boulware. He's not with us anymore, but from Seton Hall, Bobby Boulware, Bill Stampier, and Arthur Cook is still out there somewhere. But he was someone who was very important to me in college because I did not have good relations with the music department.
So let's talk about your, yeah. You've started college,
okay.
And where is this?
Seton Hall University.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I told myself.
And where is that?
It's in South Orange, New Jersey. Yeah, I mean, I was saying, I got to censor myself, be careful what I say, because don't say nice things, but they weren't very nice to me, and I just want to say that Arthur Cook, you're awesome, I love you, if you're out there, and.
We were there just for a year.
No, I was there for 7 years.
Oh, at Seton.
7 years, yeah. My father taught there. He was an accounting professor, and he is still an accounting professor at another school.
At FSU.
Yeah. And so I was able to go there for free. It was not my school of choice, but if I hadn't gone there, I wouldn't have met Bill Stampier, Bill and Toddy Simon, Bobby Boulware, Arthur Cook, and Anna Kuchta was my Russian teacher.
So you did have a lot of good experiences, too.
Yeah, but the Depression never really got to leave.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
What were you studying? There. You were studying music or drama or theater?
I didn't know what I wanted to go for. I wanted to quit and drive a pizza truck and get my driver's license because I put that off. So that's what I wanted to do. But they said you have to keep going.
Well, and 7 years.
Yeah.
But so pizza is still on the back of
oven.
Back oven.
No, I don't eat gluten. I don't have pizza. No, I've got this like raw food thing I'm doing right now. So
oh, well, you may go to your maker, not realizing this dream, but
yeah.
That's, you're not alone in that.
Yeah.
Right? But you can still, get good pizza without delivering it.
Oh.
So besides Seton, but then you went to the specialized drama schools too, didn't you?
I went to the Lee Strasberg Theater Institute.
That's right.
And that was a wonderful experience. That was Mauricio Bustamante and Deborah Wiley. Hello out there, and thank you very much. They were really great. I remember first day of class, Deborah, she said, you know, just so you know, don't expect to make money this or be famous unless you're related to somebody. And I didn't even realize. And I'm like, oh my gosh, oh my goodness, that's so-and-so's kid. Now, it was very eye-opening, you know, or if you start as a small kid, or it helps, you know, it helps. start when you're a kid. I was in bands in college, too. That was, you were talking about people and influences and seeing someone on a stage and going, oh, I want to do that. I saw Nina Hagen on stage once, and
oh,
I saw her,
girl.
And I thought, that's what I want to do. And I was in a few bands, and I got kicked out of all, mostly, or felt kicked out, I wasn't, Richie Arlington was my, the one guy who wouldn't kick anybody out, so, but I was thinking about this recently, how, I don't know, maybe I have a stage presence, maybe during rehearsal, especially with the vocal things, I have to gently get into position and then, you know, line everything up and then, like on stage. But I'm not giving it all during rehearsal. I wonder if that's what they were looking for. But there was a thing about finding your people, and you can't really do much. I mean, you can, if you do stand-up comedy, if you do something very independent, if you're a writer, and, you know, if you can channel your brain to put words on paper like that, I bow down to people who can do that.
Yeah.
I have a lot of just things, all pieces of my brain, and, like, I'm good at, like, bring this in, and I want to interpret this, and I've got all these connections I can make to something somebody else wrote. Like, if somebody else wrote something, I want to bring it to a height of understanding. Like, this is my job, what I do. And so people who can write, like Robin and Brian, they can act and write and direct, and that's wonderful. So kids out there, don't skip English class. Don't skip reading class. Write, because it will help you.
Now, was Susan Strasberg there when you were there?
I heard that she was around, or like, oh, she was here today, but I never actually got to meet her.
I see. So that was very valuable for you.
It was. The sessions are like 3 months at a time. You're supposed to do two acting classes at a time. So I had Deborah and Mauricio, and I didn't switch. Sometimes people switch. And I took some other classes. But those are my main ones.
But you did more than one three-month session?
No, I took like a casting, on-camera class, and, Penny DuPont taught that. And, this is a thing, like, when you have, I would read audition notices and they'd look for someone who's quirky or, and I'd say, ooh, that's me. Mm. But then, for some reason, my presentation in audition or an interview when you meet me is a little bit like, ooh, who is she? Like, can she hold, or can she hold, you know, whatever. But it was like one of the first exercises she asked us to do. She wanted us to be on the phone and just talk like we were normally talking to a friend. And she didn't believe that it was real, because the way I was talking to my friends just didn't seem real to her. Or, you know, someone may say, oh, well, you know what I'm saying?
A lot of value came from that for you.
Well, yeah. Well, the next, when she actually gave me a scene, it was like she wouldn't give me a scene until she got through believing that I was who I was. Uh-huh. Finally, I guess she didn't have someone to do this one scene, so I said, okay, you know, I'm going to do this scene. And she's like, now that was good. And I'm like, well, because I was acting, you know what I mean?
Yes.
If you want me to, but what was I going to say about, oh, so, yeah, okay. questions, because I have plenty of
digressing a bit. Okay. Do you remember the play that you saw Uta Hagen in?
Oh, no, this is Nina Hagen, the rock star.
I'm glad we got that cleared up. All right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
She's related, right?
Crazy German lady, who's wonderful.
Now, let's talk, okay, thank you. This is fascinating stuff.
Petula Clark, though, if we're talking plays and actresses, and Petula Clark and Blood Brothers.
I've heard about that. Yeah. Now let's talk about the Gilbert Theatre and you. Okay. Now, what you move back home, and you start getting your feet on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
And when did you hear about the Gilbert Theatre? How did you hear about it?
Oh, okay. Well, so we skipped Arizona, and there was belly dancing and burlesque shows in there. But
another time,
right? Another time. Okay. Let's see, the Gilbert Theatre. Well, I was working in a restaurant. And the waitress who trained me, lovely, lovely lady, she told me about the Gilbert, and she actually brought a printed out thing from the computer to go and check the Gilbert Theater out. And she was wonderful. She was really great. The owners there were great. The cooks were great. But then when she left, she was only there for like 2 weeks or something like that one after I got there.
Uh-huh.
And I was sad to see her go because, you know, the politics in waitressing, there were bad politics in waitressing. Not like when I was at the Grand Canyon, it was very like, I don't know, rules were, yeah, it depends. Every restaurant's different, but this restaurant did.
I see.
Yeah,
but that's here in town.
Yeah. So
that shall,
okay.
Shall remain nameless.
We're nameless. But the owners were great. And the cooks were great. Everybody in the kitchen is awesome. No offense. I mean, some people. You know what you did. Is what I'm saying.
Well, Mary, and so that's how you learned about the Gilbert.
Yeah.
Was through this boss of yours. Yeah. And then what did you do? Did you seek out, you saw your first play or something?
No, she gave me the notice for the audition.
Well, you jumped right into that. Yeah, without even knowing where it was or having seen anything.
Yeah, nothing. I just swear.
And what play was that?
Oh, it was Sherlock Holmes, the Sleeping Detective.
Uh-huh.
By our wonderful local James Dean, who played Sherlock Holmes, yeah. And John Dorner was Watson. We have Roseanne Bryda was the gossip columnist. Mm-hmm. Evan Bridenstine was Hitchcock. And let me see, am I forgetting? Claudia was my, well, okay, I can't give away too much. Claudia Warga. She was Irene Adler, and
Can you imagine what
better welcome to Fayetteville than working with that
crowd?
People. Yes, yeah, that just spoiled me for
a really fine original play.
Yeah.
The Gilbert has done about a fourth of the Gilbert work has for all these 22 years has been original, and that was such a fine one, and it's such a stellar cast.
And Jeremy.
Feig.
Yeah, Feig was also in it too.
In it too. So then that was your first one, and that's 3 years ago now? Or?
Yeah, 3 years ago. Uh-huh. No, because I had the audition, and then it wasn't till the following year. I had to wait a whole year, and I was like, you still want me, right?
I see.
Right. So that was, June of 2013?
So it's 3 years ago.
Plus a year. So 2014.
Oh, I see.
So, yeah, not that long ago.
Is
that right? Okay.
So then a series of plays. What else have you been in at the Gilbert?
It's
a Wonderful Life. You mentioned it's a Wonderful Life. But before that, you were in?
Backstage. Mm-hmm. That was by our Stephen Miles, our player there. Yeah. And also Hollow Men. I just had a very small, just kind of walk-on kind of. I was the fellow waitress with Nikki.
Hart.
Yeah, Nikki Hart was, the main lady there, and I was her friend. But that was interesting. That was about some PTSD.
Right.
And very sad. Play. Yeah. And then Steven said, but I've got another one. It's totally opposite. And that was Backstage. That was very, James saw it. What do you think? What would you say?
Let's not talk about
Never
that.
Never mind. Okay.
Yes, we could go on, but we can't. We won't. Yeah.
There's a plane going overhead for those curious.
But now let's talk about Temple. You were in
Adam's Family,
and you were such a standout.
Bob
and I both came away from that thinking that not that you were attempting to take focus, but you were so in character and doing interesting things that added to the whole ensemble look.
Okay.
So Temple's another fine place to work, isn't it?
Oh, so wonderful. Everybody up there. Oh, Peggy, hello.
Peggy, Tap Horn. Everybody I've met there is just...
Yeah.
So,
I've made a wonderful friend in Dino Leon.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's the wig master. I don't know if he has any more shows scheduled, but that was my introduction to Temple, was seeing... Hairspray, Robin Parrish, and also Matt and Nathan. A lot of people I've surprised were in that, and also Kelsey Walston was in that. She played Wednesday in Adam's Family, and I thought, oh wow, she's in Adam's Family because she was so good in Hairspray. And
right, she's marvelous.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So you have a home at the Gilbert. You have contacts and at the Temple. Mary, it's marvelous.
Now, and I have to thank Robin Parrish because I felt like my job in the Addams Family was to just be act horrified at everything she did, and she brought it so hard.
It was easy to do.
She made it easy.
what a star she was and is. Mary, some roles that you would like to do. Now, you had said that you would like to have been considered as for Hedda.
Oh.
Hedda.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
And but that didn't happen. What else?
I've had, now when I moved to Fayetteville, I was having some medical issues. So the theater's been a place for me to be able to go. And, you know, if you need a break when the show's over, I just can take some time off. My memory isn't that great yet. I'm starting a new thing. We're going to try. But if I had the part ahead of, that's a lot of lines. And I know Ruth is going to tear it up. She's going to be amazing.
Ruth Cruz was cast as Hedda.
Yes. And I'm just like, this is going to be another crazy awesome cast. So I just do
so
not.
I'm confused when I see the poster with Ruth and Titus. And then she's.
Well, it wasn't cast yet.
Yeah.
But I just, my goal is do not be the weakest link. Or just try to, you know, it's going to be great.
Well, like, you were.
I can keep and up you with are. Them.
Now, so you are going to, you are, have this small part in Hedda. Well, it's not too small.
Well, I counted. I have 175 lines.
Well, that's to me
lot.
These days. That's a big part.
That's huge for me.
Well, it would be for me too.
Yeah.
Well, Mary, it's been absolutely marvelous having you here tonight.
Oh, okay.
We've been waiting for you to be sitting in this chair for some months now, and you don't disappoint in any way on stage or off.
Oh, thanks.
Now, Mary, my podcast, the North Carolina Theater Stories, has an ending time. There'll be 2 weeks from tonight.
Oh, yes.
Yes, it'll be 9 months and 30 episodes or so. And what I've been ending every podcast by with this pod script.
Yes.
As you know very well, and the script is, I ask you this question, and I've been asking all my guests this question is, what is the universal question? But I know you don't know the answer.
I don't, and I've been Googling like crazy.
Well, but I do know the answer, and 2 weeks from tonight, I'm going to reveal the answer. And it is, if it's implemented, we'll save the world. We'll end it right there, and by saying, this is Lynn Pryor asking James to dim the lights and go to black. Well, I urge you all to find a play to see this week. So until next Thursday, thank you for your company. Now, Mary, I have nearly forgotten to give you your gift, but I fortunately remembered before James completely turned out the lights. It's this wonderful book called A Practical Handbook for the Actor.
Ooh.
And, you know, actors never stop learning, and I hope never stop reading books about acting. You know, I have filled the Gilbert Library. I was down there adding some more books just yesterday. Hundreds of books on every topic about the theater. Mime, just everything. And so I'm giving you this book. It's this is the best book on acting written in the last 20 years, says who else but David Mamet. Here it is.
Thank you.
Thanks again, darling.
And
good
you're
night.
Very important to me, too. I hope you know that.
Well, darling, I know that because you're a dear, dear friend. Good night.
Good night.
Oh, right before we go, I should say that the Gilbert Theater will be premiering Hedda Gabler on February. Well, Hedda Gabler and Titus Andronicus, they're doing two shows, February 5th through February 28th. They will be different weekends. Also, the Cape Fear Regional Theater is doing The Wiz January 21st through February 14th. And the Temple Theater is doing, I think they're doing Doubt. Yes Doubt
it is
January 21st through the 31st.
Thank you, James, for that. That's so important because I urge people to see plays. Well, where the heck do you go? Now you know.
Oh, yes.
Thanks,
Sweet
Mary.
Tea has like two shows.
And we can't forget Sweet Tea.
Yeah.
They're doing As You Like It.
Yeah.
And
As You Like It and Twelfth Night.
Twelfth Night.
And they are doing those January 7th through the 24th.
Good. Thank you, James.
Thank you.
All right.
For I'm longing for dear old Broadway, longing for dear old town. Yes, I'm longing to stroll on Broadway, watching the world go round, to be back where the boys are.